You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm a staff writer at IndyCornrows.com and one of the co-hosts of the Locked On Pacers podcast. On today's episode, going solo. Once again, you get me Thursday and Friday this week, all solo. I'm here to talk about the Pacers' 116-96 win over the San Antonio Spurs. It was incredible. It was a blowout. I'm going to touch on that. I'm going to touch on what this team finally did better on the road, why they actually look like a competent team once again, and why after my pessimistic rant about Miles Turner and really the entire team on Tuesday's podcast, I'm turning around. Still not completely there on Turner right now, but I'm going to kind of talk about that and maybe dive into some little more Pacer news that's going on. First, take a quick break, and we'll get back to today's podcast. The Pacers beat the San Antonio Spurs 116-96. The game was really never in doubt, I would say. Maybe early first quarter, but by about the second quarter, they had a 12-point lead at halftime and kept extending it and extending it. It probably ranged from 10 to 20 points from the third quarter on. They came out and kind of punched him in the mouth and started mid-third quarter, and that kind of they ran away with this game. Overall, best player of the night, obviously Victor Oladipo, 7-12, 3-6 from three. I thought he was on point most of the night. I think he honestly could have had more points. A couple times he didn't finish at the rim very well. There was at least, I'm thinking of the play before the end of the half where he got to the rim and got blocked. Maybe it should have been a foul call. That's beside the point. But I thought he played very well. Had another really good Victor game. He's not quite popping into the 30-point range like I thought he might this season. He still seems pretty tame. But he had 9 assists, which is really solid. So the thing about Victor is when he puts up 20 points, he usually has like 7 assists and 7 rebounds go with it. This time he had 9 assists and 5 rebounds. So he's sort of doing so much that it doesn't really matter. I mean, part of it was he plays really good defense. He was guarding DeRozan the entire night. DeRozan didn't have his best game of the season, 18 points on 8 of 18 shooting. That's okay for DeRozan, but it's not great. And they really had Oladipo on DeRozan most of the night. So the thing you have to balance with Oladipo at times is that he is the go-to scorer, but he's also almost the go-to defender on the wing. I mean, he is their best defender on any guard or point guard that anything to throw at the Pacers. So it's this kind of balance of, do you want him to be all offense or do you want him to be all defense, or kind of where do you want him to pick his spots at times? I think it's good. It's in close games, I think we might see Victor Oladipo score more points, but I think as long as they keep blowing out teams, he's going to be around this 20-point range, but he's going to be at the 20 points with 7 assists. Like I said, 7 assists and maybe 5 rebounds or something flipped like that, and be a huge have a huge impact on the defensive end that is not reflective on the stat sheets, but you can see by just the way the game flows. And that's why they beat this person tonight, because he was really solid on defense, I thought. The whole team was really good on defense. I think they just know something about the Spurs. It seems like last year they beat them twice, and I don't know what it is. I mean, I speculated on a previous podcast that maybe McMillan isn't intimidated by Pop and his coaching style because he knows it because they work on Team USA together. Granted, the Spurs team is probably not as good as Spurs teams in the past, but even last year's team was not that good. So, they beat the Spurs, let's say, 3 times in a row now, I think. I can't remember how they were before the Oladipo era against the Spurs, but they beat him 3 times in a row now in the Oladipo era, and it's nothing. I mean, besides that first one that came in the last shot, they were really kind of a blowout the second time. They won by 8 points, but it was really much more than that most of the game. This one, they blew them out, so I don't know if it's something, some formula they have, or whether, they catch the Spurs 3 times on odd nights and certain things drop their way. Speaking of things really going their way, the 3-point shot was falling, and they were taking a lot of them. 53% from three, so that's a huge kind of contrast on 32 attempts to what it looked like against the Bucks, even where they, I think they were 6 of 18. Tyreke Evans led the way, 5 of 7 from three. I think this was Evans' best game of the season. He just seemed comfortable. He was pulling up at times, kind of with some confidence. Joseph Cordozo always played well against the Spurs, and I think that kind of oozed over to Evans. Evans had 19 points, second most in the team. I mean, the bench really carried the Pacers. They had 4 guys in double figures off the bench to bring a grand total of 7 guys double figures. Only guys that didn't reach double figures that played tonight were obviously Leaf, Collison, and Bogdanovich. So, I mean, the bench kind of carried them tonight, but, I think it was Evans' best game. And it's with Evans, the problem is going to be it's going to be up and down. He isn't quite on the level of a Victor Oladipo. He's probably a notch or 2 notches below in terms of talent. I mean, depending where you rank Vic, you know, Vic's a top 20 player. Evans is probably 80 to 100 range at times when he's healthy and at his best. And what that usually that means is that, you know, every, let's say, fifth game, he has this nice 19-point game of efficient shooting and great and five assists like he had tonight. But then he puts together a couple, you know, 1-2-point game like he did against Minnesota, and then he puts a couple kind of mediocre games in between. So that's going to be a common theme with Evans the whole year. He's not going to be a consistent, you know, let's say 15-19 off the bench every night. He's probably going to have a couple games where he gets in the 19s or even the 20 points, but a couple games where he scores less than five. I mean, that's how it's going to go with the guy coming off the bench. You know, if Evans was a 19-point-a-game guy every night, like consistently, I mean, I know he played really well last year for the Grizzlies, but a good NBA team was that kind of player, he wouldn't be on the Pacers because he'd be getting like a max contract or a five-year, $100 million contract, whatever it is, because that's, I mean, it's the kind of player he kind of shows flashes of being, but never can kind of put together for a full 82 games. And I doubt he's going to do it again this year, but I think he's having a good year so far. He's still trying to figure himself out on his offense, so it was good to see him kind of have the confidence in this game that I felt like he hadn't had before. You know, I think he took 14 shots, so that's something that I think he hasn't really done that yet. And when you look at the past games, yeah, he made some great passes. I mean, I can't say he hadn't, but he finally feels like the guy feels confident enough to take that step, that basically pull-up three, which he was pretty efficient at last year, actually. He was a really good pull-up shooter. You know, part of that is just having the confidence with the players on your team to, like, if you miss that shot, you're not going to get yelled at kind of thing. And I think that's part of that is sort of figuring that out. Especially he hasn't really shot that well from the start of the year. Before tonight, he was 3 of 10 on the season, so that isn't great. So I think this is just, it's just him working out his kinks, and he's going to get better, and it'll be fine. And once he, you know, I think ultimately he's probably, him and Sabonis are 6A and 6B off the bench in terms of six man, and it's just that kind of be where it goes. Other good guys tonight, Corey Joseph, I think it can't be underrated how well he plays against the Spurs. He was a plus 30 on the plus minus. So look at the plus minus for the Pacers. Basically, four guys pop out. Oladipo at plus 25, Evans at plus 29. Sabonis at plus 32, and then Joseph at plus 30. Joseph, for some reason, against the Spurs, is just, he just like has these kind of revenge games almost. I mean, I don't know if they're revenge, but he left San Antonio on probably good terms and everything, but it seems like revenge games to me. He made all four of his shots in three. He hit them early. I think he hit two or three threes in the first half. He just, offense, I mean, I don't know, sometimes offensively, Joseph kind of befuddles me because he is kind of has a slow release on a three-point shot, and he's not like this well-rounded offensive player. He's kind of very average offensive player, kind of the guy who is really good at the backup point guard spot, which is where he fits. But what's weird is I feel like he should be a better three-point shooter. I don't know why. I guess this season, put the stats together real quick, he's taken 14 attempts, and he's made 7 of them. So he's 7 of 14 in the year. That's pretty good on three-point, but, you know, he's like, I think, a career 34-35% three-point, which isn't bad, but it isn't what you'd expect from a guy like him who should be maybe like 38 or 39. I feel like he seems like a more efficient player than he is at times. Maybe that's because he doesn't take that many bad shots, and kind of all the shots he really does miss are kind of threes, which are not necessarily inefficient shots to take at times. Obviously, with the rest of the bench, we should talk about McDermott and Sabonis together. Sabonis got into foul trouble, and that was kind of concerning and frustating. I don't know how else to put it. He had 16 and 10. Sabonis is going to be the double-double machine for this team. I would guess by the end of the year, Sabonis leads the team in double-doubles and, you know, gets close to averaging 14 and 10 a game, 15 and 10 a game. Right now, he's at 11.3 and 11.7. Part of that has to do with he had one really bad 8-point game. But, I mean, I think Sabonis continued to impress. I mean, he just continues to impress me so much. And I don't know if it's because he's playing in a different role with the bench. But I don't know. He played 21 minutes tonight. And I don't know. I mean, I know that was part of his foul trouble. But I'm really interested to see. They haven't really played a ton of close games yet. So, if you look at the first four games, they blew out Memphis. They pretty much got blown out by the Bucks. They blew out Memphis. Or not. They blew out Brooklyn, sorry. Then they went to Minnesota. It was close. And then they blew it. You know, fourth quarter was never really close. But I'd be really interested to see, you know, offensively, if they're in a tight game down five with 5 minutes left, is Sabonis the go-to guy to come in instead of Turner? Because, once again, Turner struggled offensively, and that's kind of where I want to go after the break. So I would say Miles Turner had a good night, which is odd to say for a guy who only scored 10 points and 6 rebounds. But he stayed out of foul trouble. He shot above 60% from the field. He made an impact defensively for sure. Huge impact defensively. Also underrated. A huge impact defensively. A couple big blocks. Him, you know, he maybe got beat a couple times, I think. Got fooled a couple times, but his impact defensively was there, and you could feel his presence on the defensive end. He didn't have a ton of. He only had two turnovers, so he didn't make too many stupid mistakes. But again, he only scored 10 points and six rebounds for a center, and that's disappointing. I mean, I can be convinced that the point total makes sense with his role in the offense. That I can be convinced to, but the fact that he's not getting more rebounds is odd to me. You know, Sabonis comes in, and I know Sabonis gets offensive rebounds. You know, Sabonis tonight had 10 rebounds, and I'm trying to think if he had, so he had three of them offensively. So really, defensive rebounds, he has a similar number to Turner, and obviously with Turner out there, they don't always play him down in the post because they want to stretch the floor with him. But still, I feel like a guy Turner plays 20 minutes, you should have 10 rebounds as a center. I mean, there should be 10 rebounds there. You know, maybe it's because they didn't miss a ton of shots, so they missed the Pacers' total, missed 41 shots. You look at the Spurs' total, they missed 52 shots, so there's rebounds there to get. I just don't know what it is with Sabonis and why he, not Sabonis, but Turner, and why he isn't getting a higher rebound total, I guess. You know, I could put up with Turner having 10 points if he has 15 rebounds. That's kind of the Gobert thing. And then he's not shooting three still. He hasn't made a three out this season. Maybe he's made one. He's made two threes this season, but he didn't attempt any tonight, which is also odd. I don't know what it is with Turner, and I know I went on a huge rant on Tuesday's podcast about him, so I don't want to keep harping on it, but man, he is just, it's what's disappointing is that he got this huge contract, and yes, he scored 16 against Minnesota, which is good, and so I just didn't like him that game. I thought his rebounding was, you know, he scored 60 points and 3 rebounds against Minnesota, which is another side of crap. But man, for a guy who just signed that big contract, and I know in relative terms, actually, it isn't that big. $18 million really isn't that much an overpay for what he's probably worth, which is probably $15 million. But, you know, all this summer hype about his working out, and he has, I mean, some of that hype has to come from his camp. I mean, they're releasing those videos of him going one-on-one against guys, and I don't know if it's because the offense isn't giving him the opportunities to take them, but it's just frustrating for me to watch because I feel like he is, it's like he's always going to have more potential than he shows, and that's the most frustrating part. And I think part of it is today we saw the Pacers finally make their first in-season adjustment in the way they played. The Pacers finally took three-point shots. I mean, they took 32 threes today, and that was a huge adjustment I don't know if it was an adjustment by the team, by McMillan, or whatever it was, but somebody got in the ear of this team and said, just take threes. Step into threes, take pull-up threes, take shots. Just take threes if you feel like the open shot, because we're taking too many long twos that are that kind of uncomfortable end of shot clock long twos that aren't good. So just take threes. And I just wonder if somebody can get in Turner's ear or the other guy's ear and kind of say, we need to work some offense through Turner. We need to not just run the single play to start the game or run like the four plays for him. We need to run a real offense through him. And I don't know how they do that. I don't know if they do it on the bench, and I don't know what it is. I mean, it seems frustrating at this point that he can't put up more than 10 points and more rebounds, and it seems like Sabonis is going to be worth it more because I understand Turner's rim protecting is going to be valuable at the end of games. But if they can stop guys on the perimeter, if they can force guys in the jump shots, they're going to rather have Sabonis in there than Turner because Sabonis will get more rebounds. I mean, that's a huge thing is Sabonis is a better rebounder than Turner. And he's a better rebounder and a better scorer. The only thing Turner's better at is blocking shots and maybe playing man-to-man defense. And I don't know if that even that much better on getting switches. But, like, that's it. I mean, Turner's biggest impact on the floor is rim protection, which is huge. I mean, that can be huge in the games against guards. Guys get beat in the perimeter. Bojan gets beat sometimes, and that's huge for him. But it just, I don't know. It seems like he should be doing more or should be showing some more promise, and he's showing. And he seems like he's off to a slow start, and I could be wrong in 15 games, and he gets going again. I don't know what it is, and I don't know if they're not getting the opportunities and they're running the same stuff as last year, but, you know, and maybe, you know, Turner made the jump because the team never gave him the opportunity to take 15 shots a game, which at this point it's kind of like, why would they do that? They need to be the playoffs because they don't have a rebuilding mindset. They have a playoff mindset, which is kind of, you know, doesn't highlight young players, and it fits players who play in a system more like Sabonis. So I don't know what it is with Turner, but I'm continuing to watch him, can be frustrated by him, but I'm hoping, you know, he maybe gets settled in the season and then plays well by game 10. You know, game 10 he turns a corner and has a nice little run here. I mean, that could happen. I I just don't know. I just thought he's come in to, you know, he came into the season in much better shape. I thought he was going to have a little more tools offensively. And it doesn't seem like he has any new tools offensively. It seems like he's just sort of like, you know, I would say so he made a really good pass to Bonus in the third quarter. It was the fourth quarter, actually. They're running it in the fourth quarter late, kind of closed out the Spurs. And he does have that tool. I mean, that's in a little better. That was a good decision-making by him. But there's not any, like, eye-popping offensive tool he's developed this summer. You know, there's no, you know, he's not draining threes from all over the place or backing up guys and draining Hakeem Olajuwon shots over dudes. And, you know, I think that's probably the most frustrating part I can have with Turner is that, you know, you expect a guy at 22 to bring a new tool to him when it comes to the season, you know. So Bonus, you can tell, has worked on his offensive game in some sense, has been working on his defense. I mean, you can just tell someone's been working on his game along. And I know Turner has too, so I just don't know why he hasn't shown it yet. I mean, I think Sabonis, you can tell, has gotten bigger and becoming a better rebounder. I mean, last year he was a good rebounder. I think he averaged 12-7 last year, but this year he's going to average probably 12. I guess right now he's having 11-11. He'll average maybe 14-11 once he gets going. So, you know, that's where I kind of see this as, like, I've seen improvement from the other young center, but not really from Turner. And, you know, I always said if Turner plateaus at 14-7 or 12-7, whatever his stats were last season, I mean, that's good. He's still a valuable player that you can play in a rotation, but he's not worth $18 million a year. He's not. And he would need to be moved, honestly, at the end of the season if he's making that much money and putting up those kind of stats, in my opinion. But, you know, I'm not the GM of the team, so I don't have that much opinion on that. Other quick notes in the game, TJ Leaf didn't really play that well. You know, he keeps getting hurt. He gets limited minutes. It's odd. I don't know. I don't really know what the Pacers can do with him. I'm hesitant to write him off as a bust right now, but it seems like he's heading that way. But he'll be back for his third season, so we'll see what happens if he, you know, he's going to get opportunity this season and he'll be back next year. So he'll get opportunities and hopefully he can turn into something of a rotation player at least. I don't know if you need him to be like a starter. I think what keeps, you know, in my opinion, what keeps kicking myself by the Pacers is that they pass on OG Anunoby, who is a legitimately starting small four in this league, for TJ Leaf because Anunoby had some injury concerns, but like Anunoby was obviously the better player and he was in the Pacers' backyard and it just would have made sense to draft him. But what can you do? You can't look back. Revisionist is looking back at history, you know, hindsight's 20/20. So besides that with the Pacers game, I didn't have much other notes. As always, our podcast will be back on Friday. I'll get me again previewing the Cavs game. I'll try to find a guest for that. But I like doing solo podcasts. You know, I do have a long day where I work, so it's easier to come home and do a solo podcast. As always, you can tweet at me at FreedomAdam5. You can follow my other co-host at TEastMBS, Tony East. And you can follow our podcast at Locked On Pacers. That's it for his Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, have a great rest.